Remember to remember and forget the past. Let's talk about it on Key Life.
This is Key Life with Steve Brown, an honest and refreshing look at Bible doctrine as it applies to daily living. If you have a Bible, get it. And here's Steve Brown, the teacher.
Thanks, Mike. If you have your Bible, you ought to keep it there, because while I'm not doing a verse-by-verse expositional study of a particular text, these are not my ideas. They come from the Bible, and I'll be referring to a number of texts as we go along. Now, if you've been listening this week, we've been talking about how to deal with discouragement. We said that discouragement is the ugly sister of pain. When you're going through a hard time, discouragement is going to probably get you. And then we saw later that there is another ugly sister that's a part of that. But at any rate, we talked about the great cloud of witnesses, Hebrews 12:1. We're surrounded by a whole lot of people that have done it in the past. We talked about the demon of guilt, that guilt is an ugly sister also of discouragement, because we think it's because we did something bad. And that makes us more discouraged, and it's a vicious spiral. 1 John 1:9 says that he'll forgive you. All you got to do is tell him about it. Then we talked about the power that is available to the Christian. We looked at Matthew 14:28-32, and Peter walking on the water and then drowning, and how we got to look to Jesus. And we ought to have people around us who can, when we're in the panic mode and things are falling apart, to say, stop it. In Jesus' name, stop it. Look at Jesus. He's in charge of this mess. He sits at the right hand of God the Father, and there's no perspiration on his upper lip. And then yesterday, I started giving you a list of things that I'd like for you to remember, things that I remind myself to remember. First, I said, and we just mentioned this yesterday, remember the past. And then forget it, too. Now, we talked about forgetting the past. Once you're forgiven, you're forgiven. So don't forget to forget. But also, remember to remember, too. We looked at Job 8:8-10. Let me give that to you again. Everything Job's friend said to him wasn't wrong, and this was right. For inquire, please, of the former age, and consider the things discovered by their fathers. For we are but of yesterday, and know nothing, because our days on earth are a shadow. Will they not teach you and tell you and utter words from their heart? Talking about the past, when you look at the history of God's people, you see God's faithfulness and love. Listen to me. When you look at your own history, you also see God's faithfulness and love. God's been building memorials in your life from the time you were born. Now, what's a memorial? Well, it's a memory of times when God was faithful. If he was faithful in the past, he won't stop being faithful now or in the future. Now, that idea of memorials, you remember when they were crossing the Jordan, and God said, build up a bunch of stones so that when your kids see these stones, they'll say, what do those stones mean? And you can tell them about what God did for you. Well, you need to do that in your own life. That's why it's so important that you make a reminder, that you keep a journal or a diary, and you think back on those times when you thought you were going to die and you didn't, when you thought the world had come to an end and it had not come to an end, when you thought you couldn't survive and you did, when you thought that you were just so ashamed that you would never face people again, but you did, when you thought that God would never forgive you, but he did. Make notes of those things and keep them there. They're memorials in your life. Now, we've been talking about Peter walking on the water. If I'd been standing on the side of the boat watching Peter go under the waves, I would have shouted, hey, Pete, you are walking, man. You are walking on the water before you got so overwhelmed by the waves. You aren't going to go down. Jesus is not going to let you drown. If I'd gotten Peter's attention, maybe he would have climbed back up and on the wave and ridden it to Jesus. Of course, he didn't. That's why Jesus reached down and pulled him out. I'll bet Peter recorded in his memory those waves and the feel of Jesus' hands on his arm when he pulled him out of the water. I'll bet Peter thought about that for the rest of his life. Keep a diary. I got to admit that I don't write in it too often. In fact, I don't write in it unless one of my ropes is really broken and it's really bad. The diary records not my life, but those places in my life where I was so hurt and discouraged, when I think I've finally gotten into a hole from which I'll never escape, I get out the diary and I read about the other times when I thought I was in the same place. Then I remember that I got out of that hole. Well, I didn't. Jesus got me out of the hole. It may have hurt, but by God's grace, I'm not in a hole anymore. God always says to me on those occasions, "Child, if I was faithful then, I'll be faithful now." So remember the past. You think about that. Amen. Well, I'm going to take some time to answer some questions. Pastor Pete Alwinson will be in on Friday to join me as we get caught up on some of the thousands of questions that we get. Hey, listen, whenever you write or call, will you give us the call letters of the station? Also, check out our website. It's www.keylife.org. And you can listen to today's broadcast and hear the last 30 broadcasts that are archived there, or you can get a lot of neat stuff to get you and those you love home with freedom and joy and faithfulness to Christ as your crowning achievement. And by the way, I appreciate your prayers. This weekend is our annual Lake Barkley Fellowship in Kentucky. And listen, if you're at a place where you think you could come, there might... Now, I'm recording this after I don't know. I mean, this is a recording. I don't do this live every day. But there may still be some openings at our Lake Barkley Fellowship. If you want to get some information, give us a call at 1-800-KEY-LIFE. Hit a zero and try to talk to a real live person. I'll let you know whether there are any openings left. But be praying for that weekend, that God comes and that he does a really good thing there. Listen, as I always say, we love to get your questions. You got to write them down. Don't use the 1-800-KEY-LIFE number for questions. You can get the booklet free, Key Life tapes free. You got to write your questions and send them to us. Enough. Let's get to some of these questions. This is from Illinois. What do you think Jesus meant in John 10:16 when he said there are other sheep that are not of this fold and that he must bring them along, and then there would be one shepherd and one sheepfold? I think he's talking about me. I think he was talking about you. I think he was talking about, I mean, Jesus at that point was thinking about the body of Christ would eventually sweep the entire world, when millions upon millions of people would come to know him. We're his sheep. Jesus at that point was talking about us. Now, there's some people who like to say, well, that means everybody's going to be saved. No matter what you believe, as long as you're sincere about it, you're the sheep. And you're going to come into the fold and everything's going to be all right. Jesus is going to be the shepherd. That's not what he means. Now, if that were the only verse in the Bible, that would be a possible interpretation of that verse. But you got to let the Bible interpret the Bible, and the Bible is clear. That's not true. And so I think in John 10:16, Jesus is talking about me, and he's talking about you. This is from Tennessee. Huh. What do you think about the Mormons and their teaching? I generally don't answer questions like that because that's not my ministry. I've got some serious problems. I mean, there's some serious disagreements with Mormons. Now, with that being said, let me say, I love them. I mean, I wish I could wear a tie all the time, the way the guys go around it. I mean, in Florida, it's hard to be a Mormon missionary. I want you to know that. I admire their commitment. I love their family values. I love their politics. But I think that they are wrong theologically in some very significant and eternal places. And that's all I'm going to say on that subject. I know. You want me to say more, but I'm not. This is from Washington State. What was Paul's thorn in the flesh, and how could it have been a gift from God? I don't know. And you know, God doesn't tell us what his thorn in the flesh was on purpose, I believe. Well, I know that everything God does is on purpose. And the reason he doesn't tell us what the thorn in the flesh was is so that your thorn in the flesh could be identified with Paul's thorn in the flesh, and you could say about your thorn in the flesh, maybe it's a sin, maybe it's a physical problem, maybe it's maybe it's your children who aren't walking it. I don't know. Whatever it is, that you could say that God's power is made perfect in weakness. And the reason it was a gift is because you don't know, as Ron Dunn used to say all the time, you never know Jesus is all you need until Jesus is all you've got. And when Jesus is all you've got, then you know that Jesus is all you need. And so it's a gift. I'll tell you the places, and it never felt like a gift to me. I mean, gifts are supposed to make you happy. But the places where I've grown, the places where I've seen God, the places where I've understood His power, the places where I've been accepted have been the places where I've been as near as possible at the end of myself. When you get to the end of yourself, then God comes. And so when people confess sin to me, when they talk about how ashamed they are, I say, cool. Because now you're getting to the place where you'll understand His love and you'll start getting better. That's the gift. That's what it's about. It's from California. Are there different degrees of punishment in hell? Well, you know, you can't go, I can't give you any details on this, but Jesus did talk about some getting a lighter beating than others. And we are taught about crowns, and there's a suggestion there. Now, I don't want to create a gigantic doctrine from Dante instead of the Bible here, but yeah, there is a sort of suggestion that there are degrees. And that's all the Bible. The Bible does not go into detail on that. And as Aquinas or Augustine said, where the Bible does not speak, I will remain silent. Well, not totally, because I've been silent about anything ever in my entire life. But don't make a big deal out of it. But yeah, there is the suggestion that there will be degrees of punishment in hell. This is from Canada. How can I, as a Christian, learn to be content? I don't know. But I know that contentment, when it's the contentment of the cow, is only for cows. I mean, we're supposed to have some stirring it up. There's this great heresy by Molinus. I'll tell you the way you learn to be content. You learn to be content by God's Spirit. I'll tell you what I'll do, because I'm running out of time here, and this is not a teaser. But next Wednesday, I will talk a little bit more about contentment. That's one of the items in our Born Free seminar, and I do have a lot to say about that. But right now, go to Him. That's the only place where you will find it. Guys, I got to get out of here. Be sure and give us the call letters when you write or call. And Key Life is a listener-supported production of Key Life Network.